a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that's happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you've received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Lord, what a personal touch in a letter that champions the deity of Jesus Christ, that seeks to restore a biblical understanding to the Colossians that in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. The one who is the firstborn from the dead, the one through whom all things consist and hold together. How beautiful to get some personal greetings, that personal touch. And Lord, there's a word here that you have given us, and we pray that we would be able to receive it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I know based upon Facebook posts that some of y'all are professional football fans. Some of you are in mourning because your team didn't progress, but you are still professional football fans. I know it. And if you are, then you probably will watch a game even if your team isn't playing. And if so, then you may have caught last Sunday's game when the Houston Texans took on the Kansas City Chiefs. It was an incredible game. The Texans came in as underdogs. They were going into Kansas City Stadium. Kansas City had a better team, better record. And yet, after the first quarter, Kansas City was losing by 21 points. The Texans were up 21 to nothing. In fact, according to the meter on ESPN, the Texans had a 93.9% chance of winning that game. You get into the second quarter, and the Texans scored again, this time a field goal. They're now up 24 to nothing. Now, if you're a Houston Texan fan, you're feeling pretty good. If you're a Kansas City Chief fan, you're not feeling so well. However, the Houston Texans didn't realize there was another 40 minutes to the game. And by the end of the first half, Kansas City scored 4 unanswered touchdowns and was up 28 to 24. And by the time it was over, 51 to 31, Kansas City. Texans were up 24 to nothing, and Kansas City outscored them 51 to 7 over the last 40 minutes of the game. What on earth happened? Well, Sports Illustrated simply put it this way. Texans experience a complete, thorough breakdown at the hands of the Chiefs. You know what I think happened? I think they started well, but they didn't finish what they started. They didn't finish what they started. There's a gentleman in our text. His name's Archippus. You may not know much about him. You might not even pay attention to him. But take a look again at verse 17. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you've received in the Lord. Archippus. Imagine if you were Archippus. This letter is not a personal email to you. This is not a private messenger message to you. This isn't a text to you. This is a letter to the congregation. And in this beautiful letter that exalts Jesus Christ, and everyone's going, wow, yes, praise God. Would you tell Archippus to finish the task? Whoa. Now, what was the task? We don't know. All it says is, see to it that you complete the work that you received in the Lord. The implication is that Archippus had been given something, whether it was from God directly, something in his heart, something prophetically given, something the Apostle Paul gave him. Something was given to Archippus, and apparently he started it, just like the Texans. But he hadn't yet completed it. And it was of a serious enough nature that the Apostle Paul felt a need through a public letter to lovingly challenge him, finish the task. Now, who's Archippus? That's all we got in Colossians. But flip over to Philemon chapter 1. Both Philemon and Colossians were two epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote when he was under house arrest in Rome. And Paul writes to a gentleman by the name of Philemon, and in verse 1 of Philemon 1, we read, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Some Bible scholars believe that Philemon was married to Apphia, and their son was Archippus, and the church met in their home. And that would make sense the way he addresses the letter. They didn't have buildings like this. They met in homes for the first century or two. But whether they were married or not, or whether Archippus was the son or not, is really irrelevant. What is relevant, however, is how Paul addresses Archippus. Archippus, our fellow soldier. Archippus is not a novice. Archippus isn't some Joe Schmo in the church. Archippus, fellow soldier, that is a term that is rare for Paul to use. He loves using the word co-laborer, fellow servant, but not fellow soldier. In fact, Paul only uses that term one other time over in the book of Philippians, another one of those epistles written when the Apostle Paul was under house arrest. He refers to a guy by the name of Epaphroditus as a fellow soldier. Take a look, verse 25. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger whom you sent to take care of my needs. Epaphroditus was a gentleman from the church at Philippi. When Paul was under house arrest in Rome, he was there for a couple of years. And the church at Philippi kept sending him regular care packages to help his needs get met. And apparently Epaphroditus was one of the messengers, and he went out of his way to get to Paul in Rome and give him this gift. And he stayed around to help Paul, but he labored so much that he actually started to suffer in his health to the point of almost dying. God had mercy. And so Paul wants them to know Epaphroditus is okay. But he calls him a fellow soldier. Which means that Archippus, if he's also called a fellow soldier, it means he's one of Paul's co-workers, people that were in the trenches. Or put another way, Archippus ought to have known better. Archippus, you should know that when you start this task, it's got to get done. It's not done yet, Archippus. Archippus, finish the task that God gave you. When I read this passage and the Lord put this message on my heart, I began to reflect over my life, our church life, and I asked this question of us. If the Apostle Paul were writing to Calvary Assembly of God in Cobleskill, is there any of us that he would call out? Tell. Put your name in. Finish the task. Complete the work. Not so much as a beat you up scolding, but as a loving rebuke to encourage us. Come on, finish the task. Now we know that in the most general sense, the church as a whole, not just Calvary, but the church as a whole, has been given the task of the Great Commission. Probably you could quote it to me from Matthew chapter 28, that all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And sure, I'm with you always to the end of the age. We've got that, right? And if that's all the task were, it doesn't make sense that that was what he would tell Archippus, finish that work. Because that's something we're all supposed to do. He could have told the whole church, hey folks, don't forget, let's get this thing done. No, it's more specific. Last night, I was looking back at the past few years. We have, as you know, the annual business meeting coming up next Sunday. And I was looking back over the past few years and watching the hand of God since we've been in this building. And in 2017, one of the things that the Lord gave us as a theme for that year was from completion to commission. You know, for many, many years, we were the traveling church. Multiple places, set up, take down, the sound team. Boy, I tell you what, they were servants. And we finally got into the building. We got a beautiful sanctuary. When people walk in, they're like, wow, this is really big. This is nice. Beautiful bathrooms, temporary offices. There's a north wing that isn't yet done. And so I thought, Lord, maybe that's one of the tasks that you're calling us here in 2020 to get done. Tell Calvary, finish the task. Tell Calvary, get it done, because there's more ministry coming and you need to be ready. Now, I put this message together before I got a phone call on Monday. I knew where God was going to have me go with the message. Monday, I received a phone call. And the individual on the phone approached me with a proposal. They believe that the Lord had prompted them to make a donation to Calvary Assembly to help us finish the North Wing, Fellowship Hall. A donation in the form of a matching grant. It's been years since we've had matching grants. If you remember, we were blessed way, 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 way back that God supernaturally provided. For those that are new to this church, it's worth telling again to give God glory. In 2002, when we were looking for the property and we finally found this one after a six-year search, we had set aside some around $60,000, $65,000, and then we took a miracle offering and we received another $30,000, $35,000. That brought us up to $100,000, and that left us $25,000 short on the property. We took out a small loan, believing God, and that was in March of 2002. In May of 2002, an individual approached me and he said, how much do you owe on the property? And I told him, and he sat down and wrote a check for that amount and paid off the property. $18,000 and change check paid off. That's one of those blessings from God. And then I was approached by the village because we were the church of the flood, the largest baptismal tank in Schoharie County. We should have probably switched our theology to sprinkling instead of dunking. Maybe it wouldn't have been so bad with the immersion. But the village approached us and said, we would like to apply for a FEMA grant on your behalf. And they did. And we won. And God blessed us with another $212,000 for that property on South Grand Street. We took that as a sign God was at work. And then we were approached again by somebody else who said to me, I believe God wants me to make a donation to the church and I want to do it as a matching grant. If the church will raise $125,000, we will match it with another $125,000. And we did and they did. And God provided again. Then we had another matching grant that came in the amount of $10,000. And then another one. And then this church has generously supported the building project in excess of $1 million since we began. To God be the glory. We only owe $118,000 on this whole building. But we wanted to finish this off debt-free. And we'd just been raising funds and believing God and trusting the Lord. But then God had something else in mind. So when I got this phone call from this particular individual, they said, I want to do a matching grant. My heart leapt because I knew that the message today was finish the task. And I thought, what a day to announce this matching grant. The only stipulation, and I believe it's a good one, their heart is not just to have one or two people say, yeah, that's good, but to have the vision caught by the congregation. And so after discussion, it was decided that if 50% of the congregation would make some kind of donation towards the project, it would show that we're in this together and we want to finish the task. And if we raise at least $5,000, they will match $5,000. So in 2 weeks, when we have our annual, or we have in 2 weeks, not next week, because that's the business meeting, 2 weeks, when we have our first Sunday of the month building project update, we're going to ask you to pray as to what God would have you give. You can give that particular day, or you could let us know that over the next 30 days, this is what I believe God's going to have me give towards the project. We're going to finish the task that God has given to us. We're going to finish this facility and be good stewards of what God's given us, and we're going to maximize the entire tool that God's given us here. Give him praise. Amen. Now, what's great is that the message was here before the offering was here. But I believe that it's more than just the church. Individually. What is it that the Father has been speaking to you over the last weeks, months, and maybe even years? I sat down a couple of years ago because the Lord began taking me through this process ahead of time. Nothing personal, but I really prefer to go through it before you all because it's a whole lot harder to go through it after I preach, just saying. And little by little, God's been having me work through and check off items. There's some other items that he has for me to do in 2020. Things that will allow the ministry to be enlarged and personally to be able to continue to move forward in faith. Because I can only lead you as far as I'm growing. And if I stop growing, so will the congregation. I want to keep moving forward in faith. I don't believe I have to stop or retire or just say I've arrived. He's an infinite God. Hello. And keep growing. So this isn't just for you, it's for me as well. But what's the task? My guess is if you had one, as soon as I mentioned that, the Holy Spirit instantly brought it to heart. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. It may be personal. It may be relational. It may be administrative or organizational. It may be relational. It may be ministerial. I don't know what your task is. I don't need to know. But you do. Is there a task that God gave you that you have been putting off? Is there a task that God has given you that you have not yet finished? Then hear the word of the Lord today. Finish the task. You may say, "How? Well, let me ask you this. What's holding you up? If he gave you the task and it's not yet done, something must have stopped it. What was it? Was it procrastination? We'll get to it mañana. We'll get to it tomorrow. The only problem with that is when you get to tomorrow, tomorrow becomes today, and the next tomorrow is the next day. When you get there, it's today again. You never get there. And then months and years pass. And you look back thinking, why, Lord, did I waste so much time? There's no more time to waste. There's no more time not to finish the task God's given us. Have you found yourself so caught up with the good that you've missed the important? Have you found yourself so caught up with the urgent that you haven't prioritized the task that the Father has given you to finish? Is it procrastination that's holding you back? Or is it fear? Sometimes we're afraid. What if I fail? Well, I can tell you this, if you don't finish the task, you did fail. But if you stepped out in faith and failed, then the Father can work even in that failure to move you forward to finish the task his way. But you're definitely going to fail if you don't move forward. But some people are so afraid, so terrified, that if they blow it, they'll never be able to be okay. God will cast them aside. Some are afraid of the opposite. They're afraid of being successful. You might think, what? Yeah, some people are afraid of being successful because if they are, they're afraid everyone will have more expectations for them. Some people are afraid that they just don't have what it takes to finish it. They look around and say, nah. Is it fear? For some, it's really simple. You just never developed a plan to get the task done. Or maybe there's poor planning. What's that saying? When you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So let's say that by December 31st, 2020, there is a task that the Lord wants you to finish. What step needs to be taken January 19th to begin the process of moving you towards December 31st? You don't do it all today, but what step do you take today that moves you forward towards that end goal? And then begin to lay it out. Lord, what do I need to do in February? What do I need to do in March? What do I need to do in April? Don't wait to December 25th to decide to get it done by December 31st. Start today. Begin today. Finish the task starting today. Sit down this week and begin to lay out that plan and begin to say, Holy Spirit, show me how you want me to do this in the way and the order you want me to do this. Because I want to finish the task, Lord. Is it a lack of resources? You ever start a project at home and then realize, oh man, I need another tool from the hardware store. So you leave everything there. Well, maybe you want to leave that tool. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? You start a project and you realize you lack the resource. And sometimes that's the case. Is, you know, you got this task, you get started, and then you realize, whoa, this is bigger than I am. I don't have what it takes to finish this. I need something else. Well, you know what? God's given you resources. He's given the resources of the body of Christ. He's given the resources of his word. He's given the resources of his grace and his spirit. Everything you need to do this task has been provided for you through Jesus Christ. We just need to learn how to access that to finish the task. Maybe it's none of those things. Maybe it's not procrastination or fear or lack of planning. Maybe it has nothing to do with it. Maybe it's just you like eating potato chips on the couch. You be lazy. I got to tell you, when you start an exercise program, everything in you draws you back to that couch with that bag of potato chips. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a few bonbons on the side. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to get up. Everything in you says no. Why? Because a body at rest stays at rest. It's just the way it works, you know? But if you're going to get moving, you got to get off the spiritual couch. If we're going to get moving, we got to catch a vision of what it is God's calling us to do, and we got to begin moving by faith through the power of the Spirit and take those first few steps, and you'll find out it's not going to kill you after all. Maybe ultimately the issue comes down to this. We know what God's called us to do, and we've simply disobeyed. We have 100 good reasons or excuses. No more excuses, church. Let's finish the task. Isn't that what Jesus did? The night he was betrayed. Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. He finished the task. Paul, at the end of his life, in 2 Timothy says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Now, certainly my prayer is that none of us die by the end of this year, but that we have many more fruitful years of ministry. But let's get to December 31st, 2020, and if it is our time to die, let that be the only thing left to do, that we finished the task. We finished the task. And believe it or not, at 11:22, I finished the message. Father, thank you. It's a word, Lord, of challenge, yes, but a word of hope. that we're still breathing, which means we still got life. We still got the opportunity to finish the task. Lord, some here may be despairing and discouraged because they look back over years maybe of not doing what you've called them to do and finish the task, and they feel such pangs of regret. Lord, so many people live in the past or fear the future, but they don't live in the now. And we're praying, God, that this year, this new decade, will be a newness of life in us. That we wouldn't be getting to the end of the year going, oh, I wish, oh, I wish. But that we'll get to the end of the year and look back and with deep-seated contentment say, Lord, I finished the work by your grace through your Spirit that you gave me to do. What lies ahead, Lord, in service to the King? Whether personal, whether family, whether relations, whether work, whether administration, organization, ministry, whatever that task is, Lord, would you show us the task? Give us the wisdom, Lord, to know how to fulfill that task. Empower us by your Spirit, and we will step out in faith, Lord, to finish the task in 2020 for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.